I want to ask you what part of the country you come from.
I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself.
Well, travel for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
Layton, take your cans and clap like this real quick for me. Do that for me. Do it.
Wait, you did, like...
There you go. Run, nigga, run.
Oh!
Nigga, run.
I thought there was gonna be like, clap for this movie for being good, but no, you just
clap,
fucked that up.
Don't stop. Run, nigga, run, go behind that tree and run. Run, nigga, run.
See, I would be going with your joke, but I didn't see this shit.
That's not a joke, because Paul Dano actually does sing that in this movie. And that joke I just told you to clap your hands, he tells them to clap like that, so that ain't no joke.
Jesus.
Paul Dano said, I will be your master now. This here is your second master. So what I want y'all to do is, because we're going to have some fun right now, I want you to take your hands and I want you to go like this. You just clap. And then when they started doing it, he was just like, nigga over there better run. Run, nigga, run. I was like, oh my God, he's got them singing nigga.
That dude, wow.
Jesus Christ. We're talking about 12 years a slave. Well, I'm talking about it.
Yeah. Fuck you.
You missed such a tour de force. It's one of the heartwarming. Gravity who? Prisoners what? Rush? I don't know. Huh?
Apparently, I missed the feel bad movie of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. You should feel bad. You know, you and your people deserve to be hung. Wouldn't that be funny if they only hung the younger for generation order, and then the older generation come along like, yeah, hang them for being what they were. And be like, ain't that a bitch?
See, they're the ones that hate niggers.
Yeah, they're the ones that hated niggers. And they'd be like, excuse me, miss, you need some help? Don't touch me, nigger.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Oh, my God, this movie, man. Oh, I mean, the movie literally opens up with nigger.
Good. And it's directed by one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. it opens up with Solomon. They show like they do one of those, show you one of the middle parts of the film before they get to the open the store or whatever. And it opens up with just like, now here's what you gonna do, nigger. You get that cane up, you cut it, and you cut the bark off, and then you throw the pile over here. And any questions, nigger? Don't get your nigger ass to work then. I was like, Jesus Christ. So of course this is only playing at 14 theaters. So Larry, who couldn't see it, whatever. Mainly, it's only playing in L.A. and New York, from what I saw, whatever, for right now.
Yes, but we must talk about it, because it is a strong Oscar contender from what I have seen.
Oh, it is. It is the Oscar. I'm going to say it right now. It is the Oscar. There you go. I said it right there.
Now, this director, I have seen his other stuff. I've seen Shame, which made me feel terrible and depressed for a whole day.
Yeah. So, then you shouldn't go see this.
Oh, good!
You shouldn't probably go see this then or whatever, because you know what, don't go see what black people, I can tell you that right now. They'd be looking for the first white person they can, where I can see y'all walking out of the room right now. They just push you for no reason, like, yeah, motherfucker.
We debate like reparations. Chappelle was right.
It'd be like 50 Cent, hey, motherfucker.
Yeah, really.
But obviously we had a private screener for this or whatever, right? And that was a weird experience, too, because they had assigned seats for us. Which, I've only done that twice, so that already freaked me out. Now, I didn't get there late when I saw this, whatever. People, I saw it at the Landmark. Everybody knows it's one of LA's most prestigious theaters, whatever.
Right.
Nice-ass theater, too, whatever. Got fucking leather seats and recline all the way back, alcohol, all that shit, whatever. But, so I walk in here, and I look around. Because I have the guy escorting me to my seat, whatever. He said I'm at 19 or whatever. I was like, oh, I think I know what number that is, whatever. And I swear, there was not one Negro in sight. I was looking around, I was like, I think I saw one black female or whatever. And they sent me by my seat. Guess who they sent me by? The oldest white chick up in this fucking movie. And then he brings up the next woman, and she's about in her mid-30s, maybe 40s, whatever, and stuff. Now, usually when they saw sit by people, I recognize these other critics. I didn't recognize these two at all. They were just two old white chicks, whatever. And there were times in the movies where I wanted to either laugh or go, like, shout out loud, God damn, or whatever. But I noticed the older one every now and then would keep glancing over every second or whatever. And I was like, no. Not gonna have me act.
This movie's about you and your great grandpappy.
Yeah, now, the good thing about sitting between the 30-year-old woman or whatever is the reaction on her face looked like she... Because at the end of the movie, she was crying and just, like, staring at me and shit. And, like, then I wanted to leave so bad because... But the credits were showing, they were showing, like, words through it. And I was just like, oh, but I want to read this.
But meanwhile, in the back of your head, like, you are the only black man in this city. And they are going to want to hug you and cry to you and tell you that you're sorry. And you being the asshole, you don't want to deal with that shit.
She was making me feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting there like, don't make a scene, bitch. She's making me flip. But there was times in the movie that they did some brutal shit where, I'm not going to lie, I kind of jumped there for a little bit. But she was putting her hands over her mouth like she never heard or seen anything like this. And the reaction on her face was just like, they should have put that, like, you know how they do with horror movies? Like, this movie is so scary or whatever. They should have like this. The whole movie, she was just moving. She couldn't sit still. She was putting her hand around. I was just looking at her like the whole time, like, yeah, this shit getting to her. She's like, about that. Like, I wish I knew what reporter she was, whatever. That way I could go read her review because she probably might put me in there. Like, oh, I'll sit by this black guy. So,
and he seemed unfazed for some odd reason.
Anyway, the story is based on the book I just bought or whatever. I need to get reading this now because I just love this so much or whatever. But Solomon Northup wrote this, directed by Steve McQueen. Solomon Northup, New York man, born a freed slave, whatever. A free man, if anything. And he's walking, saying hi to everybody, you know, until one of the dudes he worked with introduced him to two white gentlemen from I forgot where they were from. And apparently they run a circus. And the dudes, and one of the white guys like, excuse me, now we're not trying to say it's a circus, but because don't you think it's not a circus? We got monkeys swinging from trees and stuff. And I was like, where are they going with this?
Why would you point out the monkeys? That seems like an odd trend. Oh, God.
He was like, we got African people like doing
gymnastics. That's some Bioshock Infinite shit.
I was like, Jesus Christ. He's like, Africans doing gymnastics and shit like that. He's like, we don't really want to call it a circus because what they're doing, they're entertaining. And Solomon here, he plays the violin. And he plays it extraordinarily well. So he's an artist or whatever. And they're like, we want you to work for us. Now, I hate to bring a joke from Paul Mooney up in this movie, but it damn sure did happen. Because I went to a Paul Mooney stand-up in Texas when I was out there last year, and he said, no, I don't drink because that's what they want. White people want niggas to drink so they can get drunk and sell them. Yeah, that happened in this movie.
Oh! How many times do I have to tell people alcohol never leads to good situations?
So they take this brother out to dinner in Washington, D.C. They take him out to D.C. They're extravagating him, whatever. They're building his head up, whatever. And you're like, wow, these are really nice gentlemen or whatever and stuff like that. And for some reason at that dinner table, I noticed that their glasses kept getting emptier and they just kept pouring shit in his drink. And I was looking, I was like, okay, why are they doing that so much, whatever. And then next thing you know, he wakes up. That brother got chains on him. I was like,
I was like, damn, they've qualified the first case of roofie.
Paul Mooney was right. Oh, my God.
See, it's weird because, like, you're saying, like, yeah, they kept qualifying these certain things. It's like Bioshock Infinite all again. Why the qualifier? Oh, God.
So Solomon wakes up. He's like, I don't understand what happened. He starts having flashbacks. He's trying to remember what happens. And, like, even in his flashbacks, they did no wrong to him. Like, he got drunk. He was throwing up outside or whatever. They were carrying him up to the bedroom and shit like that or whatever. And they were just, like, tucking him in and shit like that. And they were just like, it's like, don't worry. Everything's going to be taken care of, whatever. You're fine. I was just like, okay, so where's the part where they sell him out and trade him out to slavery? And they didn't even show that. So I was just like, oh, so are these still the two guys that set him up, whatever? I'm assuming they are because they didn't show nothing off, whatever. But they were pampering him like he was a fucking child or whatever. And he wakes up and changed. And I was like, ain't that a bitch? And right away, this dude comes in here. And he's just like, sir, I'm a freed man. And then he's like, what you say, nigger? I say, Jesus Christ. He takes out a stick, and they have him in chains to the point where, like, these chains are, like, controlled by outside, so they yank that shit, and he's on his knees and shit like that, and they beat him with this paddle till this shit breaks to the holding part or whatever, and he even used the holding part of him. Then he's like, oh, that shit broke. He gets out a whip, and he's hitting him so hard with his whip, you see the rubber bouncing off of this whip. Like, oh. The rubber is on the pee. I was like, Jesus, fuck. I was like, it's 10 minutes in the movie. I can't take no more.
See, it seems like you're solidifying my big fear with this movie, because Steve McQueen, if there's anything I learned from James, it's that he loves to do long shots that make you uncomfortable as fuck.
Oh my God, man.
And it seems like he doesn't let up in this one.
Oh, hell no, he doesn't let up.
Oh, he's gonna make shit.
He's going to make you understand how wrong slavery was. And pretty much it's a biopic here or whatever. It's pretty much telling the life of Solomon. They never say how many years has passed or whatever, but obviously because of the title is 12 years or whatever, so a couple of years passed by. It's pretty much split up into almost three separate parts, but I'll say two separate parts as far as like how he goes from plantation to plantation, because he starts off with our good, lovable friend here, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
So he gets sold to Benedict Cumberbatch, this guy, and he's with this girl or whatever. This guy, man, he's trying to sell him off. He's trying to split up this chick named Eliza, and he wants to split him up with the kids, because the one of the kids was made, as you find out later, from this chick Eliza, who tells his heartwarming story. Everybody in here has a heartwarming story. I was just looking at them like, okay, goddamn, dude. She tells the story of how she slept with this white guy, and they were like almost kind of married in a way, or whatever. But then he pretty much sold her off without her knowing,
what?
Too, whatever. Yeah, and they had a kid together, who was a mulatto child too, or whatever. So she was like, her son was all dark and shit, but she was like,
and that kid's grandson grew up to became Barack Obama.
Yes, exactly. And the girl, he was like, because the Benedict Cumberbatch's like, I want the woman, but she was like, please don't separate me and my children. So she was like, he was like, is any way I can buy the children too, whatever. He was like, nah, I'm not selling the daughter. You look at her. She's going to be beautiful when she goes up. A lot of men are going to be wanting her or whatever. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And this is Benedict Cumberbatch saying this.
No, this is another guy. Whatever. Benedict Cumberbatch was trying to buy them as a family, because Benedict Cumberbatch actually is the so-called, the somewhat of a nice one in here.
Oh, okay.
But he's only on screen for like the first 30 minutes or whatever, because once Solomon gets sold or whatever, he's pretty much off screen. That's why I say it's kind of broken up into two parts of like his slavery things or whatever.
Okay.
Because all these main actors you see, it's pretty much in parts. It's not, you don't see them throughout the whole movie or whatever. So like once Benedict Cumberbatch by him, and this is where you see Paul Dano, and you just know, like, Paul Dano, first of all, we said in Prisoner, he looks creepy, and this one he looks like a slave owner. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he looked like a goddamn slave owner. And then like Benedict Cumberbatch is the main master of this plantation, but Paul Dano is like the one underneath him. So like Paul Dano and Solomon don't know how to keep his fucking mouth shut, which is kind of a funny thing, though, whatever. But Solomon kind of puts Paul Dano in his place a numerous times, where you just hear people in the theater clapping and shit like, yeah, that's right, tell him, or whatever. And Paul Dano isn't taking that shit or whatever. So there's a lot of shit in here he does, whatever. But there was one funny where he tried to beat Solomon, and Solomon took the whip from him and started beating Paul Dano.
Nice! God, that's like, oh. I love whenever movies do that, where it's like someone's just acting like a pure asshole, and then like the caged off turn against them. Like I never will forget this. I hate the movie, but Water for Elephants, that scene when the animals go fucking apeshit finally.
Oh yeah.
It's glorious.
Oh yeah, and you can tell in this scene, like I think one of the advantages this movie has too is just the quiet tones it has, because you can tell in this scene alone that Solomon's not taking this shit. I don't know how to pronounce the last guy's name. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Ejiofor, yeah, something like that. Whatever. The guy was amazing in the movie or whatever. I hope to see him more on screen. But you could tell in this scene, he wasn't taking that shit no more. He took that whip and started beating the shit. You hear Paul Dano screaming, no! Stop! Stop it! And it was just glorious. And then he gets other people, and then they were just like, he's like, Master here. Didn't like the house I built, even though he told me to use these nails or whatever. So he tried to beat me, so I beat him back. And I was like, I don't think you should have said that. You would have left.
Yeah.
And they hang this Negro, but they don't hang him like to death or whatever. They hang him to the point where like he can stand on his tippy toes, and they leave him there for the whole day. And then like people just walking by, just like, and the slaves were just walking by. They use him as an example. I was just like, are they ever gonna? And like, I hate to say this, but that scene was just shot beautiful. Just seeing that Negro hang, I'm not gonna lie, I can't believe I'm saying that, whatever. And just like the background effects of what was going on, just little small details here and there, whatever. You think the slave owners were some of the, their wives were even worse, because the wives was even horrible, whatever. Benedict Cumberbatch wife comes out and just stares at him, and she just fans herself like, that nigga deserves everything he's getting, whatever. Benedict Cumberbatch finally comes at nighttime, and he sees Solomon, he cuts him down. He's like, oh, I'm sorry this happened to you, but they're going to kill you now, whatever, because you didn't keep your mouth shut. He's like, I got to get you out of here, whatever. And so he sells them off to, this is where we meet my boyfriend, Michael Fassbender.
I don't think he... I get the feeling for this movie you won't want him to be your boyfriend after this movie.
Oh, I do. I still do.
You want him to lift the ass?
I wish he would beat me. I'd be like, beat me harder, master.
Jesus Christ.
I deserve it because Michael Fassbender, the bad. This dude, oh my God. I think the Hollywood straight up said it's time for P1's orgasm week or whatever. Because first we got this one, then next week we got him again or whatever. Because, man, when he was just on screen, he's a drunken bastard or whatever and shit like that. It was slaver. But God damn it, he's still charismatic and fun. There's a scene where he was chasing Solomon. Because Michael Fassbender is sleeping with one of the slaves or whatever. Her name is Patsy. Because she's picking cotton. She's picking 500 pounds worth of cotton every day. Everybody else is pulling in like 120 or so like that. And for some reason, you can see it in his eyes. He's just like, 500 pounds or whatever. And he starts rubbing on her. And it's almost seem like he's getting turned on by the amount of work she can do.
Yeah.
I was like, good Lord, man. He's a sick son of a bitch. And I like it. And if you picked less than your amount from yesterday, he would take you out back and whip you. Chiwetel Ejiofor was always getting whipped by Michael Fassbender, people, whatever. But there's a scene, dude, in this movie where Michael Fassbender's wife, she kind of suspects that Michael Fassbender is sleeping with Patsy. And there's a scene where they're dancing because Michael Fassbender has them all dancing, practicing and shit like that, whatever, for entertainment. And Patsy's the only one that's looking like she's enjoying it. She's having a good time, whatever. Everybody else is doing it lazily, whatever. The wife, you know those old scotch bottles, right?
Yeah.
The wife picks up a scotch bottle and throws that shit right in her eyeball or whatever and knocks her the fuck out or whatever.
Ooh.
And I was just like, that is a... The chick sitting next to me, that's when she stuck her hand over her face. She was like...
Damn.
Now, people, I don't know if you know, but those scotch bottles are, and back in those days, were heavy as fuck. That was pure glass.
Yeah, damn lethal.
She did it fast, too. Like, you didn't even see. You could see her in the background, the wife just standing there looking, and she just literally just picked that thing up, walked over her in her face, and domed her right in the eye. Michael Fassbender just sat there and was like, hey, what's wrong with you? Don't do that. What are you doing? She was like, I know what's going on between you two, whatever. I was like, hey, you didn't have to dome that bitch in the eye. She was like screaming in the house. She couldn't even move. She was like, my eye. Oh. I mean, Michael Fassbender's wife treated this girl, Patsy, like shit. She was like, you don't get a bar of soap. You don't get to eat. You don't get to do shit or whatever. I was just like, man, she was at times threatening Michael Fassbender. You need to beat her. Beat her now, whatever. And whenever she would get
beat. And he's like, I'll beat her with my dick. But
pretty much, yeah, because he was just like, I'm not going to beat her. She didn't deserve it. I need her to pick that cotton or whatever and shit. And there's a scene at the end or whatever. Well, not towards the end, but the end of this story with Fassbender or whatever, where she goes off to, like, one of their neighbors or whatever because she went, like, she had to go to the hospital to get stitched up. And her fucking face was fucked up after that bottle threw fucked her up. Dude, I go, she had to get, so she went back to that place to go get a bar of soap. And Fassbender loses his shit because he thinks she ran away. He's like, where the fuck is Patsy at? Because he slept with her. Obviously,
right.
He fucked her with her. And they even show you this scene, too. And I was like, bitch, I don't know what you complaining about. You got Michael Fassbender on top of you right now, whatever. You looking like you don't like that shit. Better like it, shit. I was like, not every day nobody gets to fuck that now. Come on now. Like it. Smile, at least, or whatever. And Michael, I'm going to tell you this right now. This is funny, because Michael Fassbender fucked her so good, he killed her for a second.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she literally, like, almost died. Like, he had to, like, fucking, he started strangling her a little bit or whatever, so and then she, like, started breathing again. I was like, oh my God, he fucked her so good she died.
And P1's like, new goal in life.
So this whole time, she's, like, telling Solomon, she's like, you gotta kill me. I want you to take me out back and drown me. She's like, he's like, I'm not doing such a disgust. And the whole time, everybody's thinking, like, Solomon, you just, like, you stand up for these white people. He's like, and this is a beautiful scene too of Chiwetel Ejiofor or whatever, where he's just like telling him, he's like, I ain't sold out or nothing like that. I'm surviving. I'm doing what I need to do until I buy my time to get my freedom so I can make it back to my family, because I'm not going to end up like the rest. And I was just like, hey, I want to stand up. Amen, brother. Hey.
But the question is, does he?
Yes, he does.
Nice.
And that's because of Brad Pitt.
Oh, so everyone's favorite white man comes in to save the day.
Except for Fassbender.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, Fassbender gets out of control. Because that scene where I'm talking about where she goes to get the bar of soap, he loses his shit. He starts throwing people down. He's like, where the hell is Patsy at? Get that nigga better be around or whatever shit. And then when she comes back, she's like, I just went to get a bar of soap because mistress won't even give me a soap to clean myself. I smell so bad and stuff like this that I can't even pick the cop no more. I pick so much more than everybody else. And he throws her down. He's just like, it's time for your whipping. Solomon tries to step on him. He's like, please don't whip her. And he knocks the fuck out of Solomon on him. Then he's like, the wife comes out. She's like, beat her. Just do it. Do it fast, but do it. And then he's just like, I don't want to do it. So he gives it to Solomon. He's like, you better hit her or whatever. And he hits her, but he doesn't hit her as hard or whatever. He hits her pretty weak. And then he starts breaking down crying. And then he takes the whip from him, whatever. And then Fassbender unleashes that whip on her ass. I was just like, okay, I think we, oh my God, he's killing this girl with these whips, whatever. She lives, but it's a scene where you show her back or whatever. It is fucked. Like, you can see, like, the damn bones of it or whatever. It's damn near gruesome or whatever. Look, I was like, oh, my fucking God. Fassbender lost his shit. So Brad Pitt gets introduced by, he's a contractor to build, like, a gazebo, pretty much, whatever. Because, you know, slaves are ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. So. And he's a contractor. He gets hired. And he's like, I don't believe in slavery. I think all men are created equal and stuff like that. And they even told Fassbender, he's like, what would happen if the laws changed and you were in slavery? Fassbender looked at him and it was funny. This is a funny ass scene because Fassbender looked at him and said, the hell did you just say? He said, I said, what would happen if the laws were switched and you were in slavery? He just like started laughing. He's like, well, that ain't never gonna happen. He's like, are you crazy? And him and Fassbender have this great scene of dialogue where they're just talking back, like, of created an equal men and stuff like that. And it's at the point now, after that beating Fassbender gave Patsy, whatever, he asks Brad Pitt, he starts crying, and he's like, because he's asked Brad Pitt, asks him, how do you know about Canada? He's like, if I tell you this story, don't tell anybody. But he told him I was basically a free man brought him. And Brad Pitt was like, I don't know if I can help you because I could be killed for this, but your story does bring tears to my heart or whatever, and I do want to make sure I do the right thing in my lifetime if nobody else can or whatever. So I will write your letter and I will take it to New York or whatever and make sure that the charges are pressed against you are different or whatever and stuff like that. And his bosses come or whatever, and the police officer come, and they about to take Solomon. He's like, Solomon? He's like, do you remember this man and all that stuff? They start asking him questions to make sure he's the right man or whatever and everything, and he's pretty much free now. And this is where Fassbender goes off on a fucking bit. He will not. He's like, what you doing with my nigga?
Oh, God.
Fassbender was embracing the N-word in this part. He was just like, he's like, this is not your slave. You could be held in jail for retaining son. He's like, that is my slave. I paid good money for that nigga right there. That nigga is my property or whatever. That's my nigga. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, I'll be your nigga. Fassbender.
Oh. As everyone else is like, what a fucking asshole.
He's just like, he was not letting this go. Like, the police officer is taking Solomon back to the car so we could get up out of here. But Fassbender is yelling. He's like, get my horse ready. I'm taking this up to the court. This is my nigga and my property. I bought this nigga, and he belongs to nobody else or whatever. And it gets to a scene where pretty much to wrap it all up, whatever, Fassbender is still chasing them on this car or whatever and stuff. But it gets to a part where after his 12 years, Solomon meets his family again or whatever. His daughter and son is all grown up. His daughter is married, got a grandbaby, and Solomon comes in the room. He just breaks down crying or whatever, and he tells him, I apologize. I'm sorry for all this, whatever. And it's just like, ain't nothing reason for you to apologize. And the movie ends with them all hugging or whatever. I mean, there's a lot more detail in it, but I could be here for a fucking hour and a half.
Yeah, a lot more detail. When those policemen go back to Fassbender. Hey, buddy. Psh, fuck you.
Nah, man. Don't do that, man. I understand where he's coming from. He just want to be loved by black people. That's...
No!
Hey, Fassbender, I speak your...
So, I'm guessing this is a high full price?
I wanted to say, Fassbender, that's my nigga. Right, if I ever meet him, that's what I'm saying. You my nigga.
Oh, my God. And then he's going to look at you like, the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm like, man, dude.
The only other person that said that to me is Quentin Tarantino when he asked me to do Django 2.
And Jamie Foxx.
By the way, I do have to ask that. Do you think this is like... Do you think this will shut up the people who think Django is a great movie?
No, people still are Quentin Tarantino's dick no matter what he say. So.
Oh, goody. Well, at least the Academy Awards will say otherwise.
And plus, this was only... like, people care what the Academy Awards say.
Good point.
The Academy Awards, nobody gives a fuck what they say. But and plus, it's only been released in 14 theaters, so nobody's going to see.
Not yet. We'll see.
Yeah, but people still are probably going to go see it or whatever. Yeah, but, good point. No, I mean, the performances, everybody here did a great. I don't even like Benedict Cumberbatch. And I don't like him. I don't care what people say or whatever. He looks creepy as fuck. He doesn't even look human. He looks like a fish. A dried. He looks like he belongs in Water World or something. I don't know. But he did a great job in it. Brad Pitt came in, had a great. I was like looking at him and Fassbender together. I was just like, God damn, this is like an orgasm city right here for me. I was like, this is amazing. Chiwetel Ejiofor. I mean, there are some scenes in here which I like, which I was going to say when I was seeing it, I was like, this is unnecessary. We could cut this out. But I saw it or whatever, and the cinematography of it was just beautiful. There were a lot of silent moments in the film, too, which I really appreciated. And I was looking at that like, he's giving me time to think about most of that scene that just happened. There's a lot of silence in the movie or whatever where it just gives you time to think about the scene before that or whatever. I bet a bunch of people are saying, why didn't the African people ever fought back or anything like that? Oh, believe me, they tried to in this movie. At least one of them did.
Good.
And his ass got shot.
Oh.
So it had, and in front of, and a bunch in front of other niggas too, whatever. So it was at that point where it was just like, wait in the wall. I didn't see nothing but
shit.
Because, yeah, there was one chick, the chick that I told you about earlier that was crying over her kids and them being separated. Benedict Cumberbatch's wife was such a bitch that this chick was the mother was crying every day or whatever, and the Benedict Cumberbatch wife just looked over when they was having a church sermon. He just looked over and said, "Her tears depress me. Do something about it." And the next scene over, you just see them dragging her out to the back area. I was like, "Oh my god,
the fuck!"
I was like, "Jesus!" I mean, I think the women honestly was worse at this time because they were almost treated as much as black people was. I mean, they wasn't in chains or anything like that, but, like, the white men never respected them and did anything with them. So, like, they probably felt, like, that sense of power of doing shit to black people just because out of anger, just because they were being treated almost in a similar way or whatever. And you really see, the two women they have in here, as far as Benedict Cumberbatch's wife and Michael Fassbender's wife, you really see the shit in them. I was just looking at them like, man, they don't give a fuck, dude. Like, they didn't,
fuck the South.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but no, I give this a high seed, man. This is probably easily. I've saw it twice now. This is easily. There's a lot of stuff, the tension and detail in here. It's just heartwarming, sad, or whatever. I mean, the saddest part is, honestly, you may think him making it to his family was, oh, what a happy ending. No, because when that part where that chick was crying next to me, and I told you the text, you know how they show text through when the movie ends or whatever and shit?
Yeah.
They were saying that Solomon tried to take the men responsible for him to court or whatever, but they got free. They didn't have no charges against him or whatever. They got free, and like a couple of years later, Solomon's death and whereabouts turned up missing.
Shit.
So I'm taking it this nigga got killed for speaking his mind about this whole incident of him being taken for 12 years or whatever. So I just look at that like, God damn, so that means he didn't live.
Shit.
Oh my god, Jesus Christ. I was like, he tried to do justice, and they just said like his death, how he died, and everything else about it was unknown or whatever. And I was just like, I wonder what happened.
Shit. Well, on that note, for me feeling bad, I'm gonna go cry now. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, run, nigga, run, behind the tree, nigga, run.
And we're done. Good night.
What the Paul Dano, man.
1 was a free man. I'm not a slave.